Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, Fort Laramie. Two episodes of Lum and Abner, which get us into a bit of a serial story. We'll have a story from NBC, Point of No Return, from 1949, X-1, with a story that sounds like it should come out of, well, what? The Haunting Hour? It's called The Haunted Corpse. And tonight we'll also hear from The Shadow and from The Strange Dr. Weird. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we'll start by riding west toward Fort Laramie, where we encounter a big powwow, and Captain Lee Quince worries about a major departure from the reservation. Our story is called Spotted Tail's Return. It stars, of course, Raymond Burr, and it comes to us from July 22, 1956.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
I see him.
Wait. He's looking up this way. All right. Now.
You gonna leave him here, Captain?
I better hide him. No sense announcing ourselves to Fleet Bear. That ravine down there is choked with brush anyway.
Yes, sir.
Easy now.
Them brule Sioux grow big, don't they?
Yeah, this one did.
Maybe too big to sit a horse. That's why they had him stuck up here on lookout duty.
Maybe. All right. This spot's good enough.
Best pile some of this brush over him. Don't want him finding him right off.
At least it was quick killing. Beats Fleet Bear's way.
Kind of evens the score on that woman we found all staked out.
You can't even scores like that, Gorse. Well, now we can watch this powwow without being interrupted.
Yeah, we got the best seat in the house, Captain. As long as we're the only ones that knows it.
That's no war party down there. Too many lodges, teepees. Fleet Bear must be using this for his permanent camp.
All his raids lately have been within striking distance of here.
Yeah, those drums, they aren't war drums either. More like a celebration of some kind.
He's got a lot of killing to celebrate.
Yeah. I wish we had the men. We'd stop his killing right now.
They sure don't look like they're expecting any trouble.
Must be a couple thousand down there, Gorse. Half of them warriors. We got 60 men from B Company. They're not going to have any trouble from us.
Fleet Bear, is he really Spotted Tail's son?
The old man looks on him like a son, but he's a nephew, I think, no more than that.
Don't seem like they're the same breed of men. I never heard of Spotted Tail killing wholesale, stealing women.
He could roam free when he was a young brave. This was all Sioux country. No white settlers, no white army. That'd make a difference.
Sure would.
Yeah. Ever think what you'd do, Gore, say you were Fleet Bear and the intruders came into your hunting grounds?
That's one of my troubles. I know blame well what I do. That's not excusing what they do to women.
That's not excusing anything. But it makes you wonder where men like Spotted Tail get their courage. Anyway, I call it courage. Agreeing to give up your land, signing treaties, moving on to a reservation.
Yeah. You call that courage? What do you call what we're doing? Two of us sitting up on the rim of a canyon looking down on a couple thousand hostiles?
I wouldn't call this courage. It's more stupid than anything.
I'm getting kind of tired of them drums.
Well, we can report a big powwow, the makings of a feast, but we sure can't tell the major what they're celebrating. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you want to slide down there and ask Fleet Bear what all the commotion's about.
Like I said, I'm getting kind of tired of them drums.
Well, that being the case, we better get back to our own camp.
Quincy?
Mrs. Hybert?
I hope it was successful reconnaissance, sir.
I hope so, too. We'll talk about it.
I'll see to the horses, Captain.
Right, Sergeant.
Oh, Captain, there's a runner here from Major Daggett. I think we have new orders.
Don't you know?
Well, the packet's got your name on it.
You were in charge of the camp while I was gone.
I know that.
How long has he been here?
Since early this morning. I knew you'd be back before...
Mr. Syberts, we found Fleet Bear's main camp. 2,000 Brule Sioux, half of them warriors, along the Bighorn, about 25 miles north of here.
That near?
We had to kill a lookout so we could stay long enough to get a good look. Might have been the other way around, Mr. Syberts. He might have seen us first.
Next time, when orders come, I'll open them, Captain.
Right.
Oh, he's in your tent, sir.
Come on in, Mr. Syberts. Oh, Captain Quince, sir. Orders from Major Daggett, sir. As you were, Trooper. When'd you leave Fort Laramie?
Noon yesterday, sir.
Any sleep since then?
No, sir. Well, except just now. I was beginning to doze off.
Go find yourself a place to sleep. Some food if you need it.
Thank you, Captain. Lieutenant Seibert saw to that. Will you be sending me back, sir?
Not without a rest. We'll find you when we need you.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe this.
What is it, sir?
Major says Spotted Tail's beginning to move. Scout reports indicate he's moving his whole tribe off the reservation.
Well, that is hard to believe.
I'd have to see it first. Hand me that map case, will you?
Yes, sir. Well, where's he supposed to be now?
We'll have to figure that. Ordinarily, his lodges are set up along here, Pleasant Valley Creek. Rosebud Agency in the Black Hills. Let's see. This report was a day getting to us, 2 days before that getting to the major.
Which way is he traveling, Captain?
This way.
Toward us, on the Bighorn?
That's what the report says.
Wonder why.
I don't know why, but we're going to get the chance to find out. We're supposed to go after him.
He's still in Indian country. We can't keep him from moving around if he wants to.
Spotted Tail's supposed to stay at the Rosebud Agency, Mr. Syberts. If he's going to move around, he's supposed to ask permission.
You're not calling this a treaty violation?
I'm not calling it anything.
Yes, sir, but the major...
The major wants to know why Spotted Tail's moving. He has the right to know.
Yes, sir, I suppose he does.
This gonna go hard with you, seeing Spotted Tail again?
No, sir.
I want you to be sure about that, Mr. Syberts.
I'm sure. It doesn't take Spotted Tail to remind me of his daughter, Captain. Not with her grave at Fort Laramie.
Yeah.
And even if Ahuapa's grave weren't there, I'd remember.
I'll be doing some map work tonight, Mr. Syberts. I could use a hand.
Yes, sir.
Tell Sergeant Gorse to pass the word. We'll break camp at dawn.
Right, Captain. Oh, what about the runner?
He can start back to the fort when we break camp. No need in him starting earlier. He needs the rest.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Spotted Tail's my friend. All I want to do is talk to him.
must have been their camp, Captain.
That's likely. I wish I didn't think it was.
How's that, sir?
Look, all along here.
Look, wagon tracks, only deeper.
Lodge poles. They make that kind of mark, dragging behind ponies. Yeah. Campsite this big, ponies trailing lodge poles. That's got to mean Spotted Tail's moving his whole tribe.
He can't understand.
There's no understanding unless we can talk to him. At the rate he's moving, that might not be too easy.
Captain, Spotted Tail's like Red Cloud. He believes in the treaty table. He's always kept the peace.
Well, something's got his dander up.
I guess he wouldn't go off the reservation without a good reason.
It's the way he's going off that bothers me.
How do you mean?
Well, he could have moved up north in the Dakota Territory. Could have cut off a corner of Wyoming, gone up to Montana country. There are lots of ways he could have left if getting off the reservation was what he had in mind.
Well, from the Black Hills to the Little Powder, he's taking a long way, all right.
It'd be a direct way if you were heading for the Bighorn and Fleet Bear.
You don't think that, Captain?
I don't want to. Could be some trouble in the Black Hills drove him out, but this looks more deliberate to me.
You think we can catch up with him?
Not standing here, Mr. Syberts. Sergeant!
Yo!
Pass the word. Prepare to mount and move out.
Prepare to mount.
Captain, if he were heading for Fleet Bear, then what?
That'd be something I'd want to find out from Spotted Tail, Mr. Syberts.
I've been here since the treaty, Captain. I never saw anything like it.
They've been gone about 3 hours, you say?
Just about. Talk about folding tents and silently stealing away. I read that in the book once.
Yeah, I read the same book.
You're going to wait here for a reply, ain't you?
I haven't much choice.
Is that what you want me to say to the Major?
Just put down I'm waiting for orders.
All right. Yes, sir. When I bedded down last night, I was the only one on Rawhide Creek, far as I knew. Woke up this morning, got a whole Injun village sitting at my front door.
Yeah, you told me.
Yep. Fire's going, squaws stirring up pots of food, papooses squalling, and darned if some of the braves went fishing right out there in the Rawhide. That don't happen to me every morning, Captain.
Papooses squalling?
Yeah. The funny thing about that, no matter what color hide the young'un's got, when they squall, they all sound the same.
How long do you think it'll take to get an answer?
Man, that'd be more up to your Major than to me.
You're quite a philosopher, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It comes from having time to think, alone a lot, you know. Once in a while, some of you soldier boys or someone from the engine agents, if they get lost toting the mail, they come by. Like I say, I've been here since the treaty, and I never saw anything like this.
Talk about folding tents and silently stealing away.
Oh, yeah, you read that book too, didn't you? Well, sir, I no sooner got used to them cooking and squalling, fishing, they was gone. Like 1 minute they was there, and then right away they wasn't. Like I say,
not
I've been
three
here...
Not times, but... you're not going to say it.
Oh, right. All right. You think they got wind you was trailing them, huh?
I think they did.
Well, sir, well, I won't say it again, but I'll tell you, it left its mark on me. It sure did that.
You get anything for me, I'll be outside.
Oh, say, Captain.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got a couple of poles. Any of you soldiers want to get some good fishing?
Thanks very much. Maybe next time.
Captain Quince?
Yeah?
Up on the bluff.
Yeah.
He wouldn't come back to make a stand, Captain.
I don't think so. We'd have more than we could handle if he did.
The runner's coming down under a flag, sir.
And see the men hold their fire, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Hold your fire. Hold your fire.
Like as not, he wants a powwow.
White Captain, I come from Spotted Tail.
You have a message?
Spotted Tail say, you come, White Army stay. You come alone.
Up on the bluff?
Spotted Tail meet White Captain at trees by water. Like White Captain, Spotted Tail come alone.
Get my horse, Mr. Syberts.
Right away, Captain.
And Mr. Syberts, while I'm gone, orders may come from Major Daggett.
I'll receive them, sir.
Good.
Corporal, the captain's orders.
You may tell your chief I will meet him at the trees by the water.
Spotted Tail send White Captain Ring to show good faith.
Tell your chief I know him to be a man of good faith. Tell him to keep his ring.
As you say, White Captain.
Greetings, Spotted Tail.
White Captain. You are from Fort Laramie. I know your face.
It's been a long time since we've met, Spotted Tail. Many moons.
I came to you then in sorrow to put only daughter, Ahuapa, in white man's burial grounds.
I remember.
She spoke of love for white man. You?
No. Not me, Spotted Tail, a young officer. He's with me back there at the station.
The place of her burial, it is still honored among you?
She was our friend, as you are. Friendship is always honored.
The words are well spoken. I, too, speak of honor, White Captain. You follow me, do you?
Yes, for 2 days now.
It is honor for a friend to track a friend?
I wanted to talk with you.
To talk or to make questions?
Questions and answers make talk, Spotted Tail.
By terms of treaty, White Army not belong in land of Indian. From Bighorn Mountains to Black Hills, all land north of river which flows by your fort. All this Indian hunting ground.
By terms of treaty, Spotted Tail belongs on the agency called Rosebud, not in the Valley of the Little Powder, or on the bluffs above Rawhide Creek.
This is why you follow me?
This is why.
If I say my people want new hunting grounds, what does White Captain say to that?
I say you left the best hunting grounds in the West when you left the Black Hills.
See? We do not wear the paint of war. Our mission is one of peace.
I believe you do not want war, Spotted Tail.
When red man go to war, all who see can tell he plans war. The headdress, the paint of war, all who look can see. The white army wears same face at treaty table as on field of battle. Only white army knows when white army plans war.
The white army plans no war against Spotted Tail.
You are only white army who follows?
I think this is so.
I ask what you know, not what you think.
I can only tell you what I think. As far as I know, we are the only white army to follow Spotted Tail.
My scouts count you small. I am told 60 soldiers of White Father.
That's no war party, Spotted Tail. You are moving all your people. Many times, my 60 soldiers. All your lodges have been moved. Squaws, papooses, your old people, as well as your warriors.
I have told you, our mission is one of peace.
To leave the reservation without permission of the White Father is to break the spirit of the treaty.
No words in treaty say Spotted Tail must ask White Father to breathe. This is the land of my fathers. On it we hunt, fish, live, and breathe.
Do you consider the Valley of the Bighorn the land of your fathers?
My fathers have counseled there many times. Have yours?
No.
Then it is more the land of my fathers than yours, White Captain.
The Bighorn River lies beyond the treaty limits, Spotted Tail. If you go there, you break the treaty.
I speak to you of peace, and you reply of breaking treaties. It is you who first talks of the Valley of the Bighorn, not Spotted Tail.
Do you go to Fleet Bear?
You know the son of my brother?
I have seen his camp on the Bighorn. I have seen his killing. He does much harm.
He is young and has the feel of a warrior. I have seen the killing of young white warriors. 3 burial grounds of Sioux squaws and papooses stood once near your Fort Laramie.
I know that.
So, there is no good left in talk, White Captain. The sun moves, and Spotted Tail moves with it. One last time I say to you, I speak with truth and honor. Our mission is one of peace. If you follow me, White Captain, I cannot be sure of the peace. Hurrah!
Any good at your powwow, Captain?
He's going to Fleet Bear. I know he is.
Will he tell you that?
He told me everything but that. But that's where he's heading.
Well, they've moved off the bluff. They must be going on.
Yeah. He told me they would.
Are we going after him?
If we do, we start a war. He told me that, too. Now, where's Mr. Seibert?
In the telegraphy station. Your orders, Captain. We're supposed to return to Fort Laramie.
And the Major has made my decision for me. Following Spotted Tail might not be the best move now. And this isn't a complete message, Mr. Simons.
I know, sir. The telegrapher says the line must have been cut between here and Fort Laramie. Hmm.
Return to garrison immediately. Fleet Bear has... That's all it says. Fleet Bear is what?
I don't know, sir. But it does say to return. That's the important part.
I wonder if it is, Mr. Simons.
You're convinced he was going to Fleet Bear?
I'm convinced, but that doesn't do much good now.
Captain, you can't help what's happened. Fleet Bear's been asking for a fight for a long time. Major Little came across the same encampment you did, only he had enough men to lead a charge.
My orders were reconnaissance.
I know that.
And I didn't know Major Little and 3 companies of cavalry and 2 of infantry were this side of California.
Major Little's not in my command. I didn't know either.
Tell that to Spotted Tail.
Spotted Tail's an old chief. He knew any renegades were open to attack.
It was a quiet little scene, Major. Spotted Tail and me under the trees by a stream. Talking peace and honor.
You didn't kill Fleet Bear, Captain.
Spotted Tail was talking to the White Army when he talked to me. He told me his mission was peaceful. I told him mine was no war party. We believed each other.
Well, you were right. Yours was no war party.
His wasn't either. They could have wiped us out right there at the Rawhide. Spotted Tail is going to figure that he was talking peace with one white man while another attacked and killed his nephew.
You say you're convinced Spotted Tail was going to Fleet Bear. To join him?
I think it was more likely the other way around. To persuade Fleet Bear to join him on the reservation.
But you don't know that.
I don't know that, but I know Spotted Tail... He signed the treaty. He's kept it.
That remains to be seen.
Major? Captain? Outside the post gate, Spotted Tail and his whole tribe.
Well, we don't want any trouble. We'll meet him outside the gates.
Show great courage, Spotted Tail, riding up to the gates of Fort Laramie without first sending a runner.
I have sent runner before to speak to White Army. I have sent him with a ring to show good faith.
That was before, Major, when we met on the Rawhide.
I am now come to White Army with no faith.
We didn't break faith with you, Spotted Tail, and we broke none with Fleet Bear.
The words faith, courage, honor come easy to the tongue for white man. Have no meaning to Spotted Tail unless they are words of the heart.
Fleet Bear broke faith with us by his killing. I told you that when we powwowed.
There was not yet faith in him to break. white man has killed not only Fleet Bear, but the faith that was not yet born in him.
Is that why you were going to him?
I have seen much good in treaty and council. Fleet Bear Young had not seen this.
You think he would have listened to you, Spotted Tail?
We will not know that answer now. You have made his ears forever deaf to the words of his father's brother. I can say what is in my heart, and in my heart I believe he would have listened.
Why do you believe that? You tried to talk to him before?
You told me you saw his camp on the Bighorn. If you saw and knew what you saw, then you know he planned a feast of celebration.
That's what I saw, Major.
A feast for his father's brother, Spotted Tail. We do not make feast and talk war. That is not our way.
We can't be sorry for Fleet Bear, but we will count it a loss to lose your friendship, Spotted Tail.
You have lost more than that. I am an old man. My friendship has not long to last. But the young braves, they will live on and remember. You have lost the hope in their hearts for peace and honor.
Is that why you've come here? To tell us that?
No. I come only for what is mine. The remains of my daughter, Ahuapa.
She was buried in our cemetery at her request, Spotted Tail. Her grave here at Fort Laramie has been honored.
I am yet her father. She will return to the land of her people. She lived in peace. She will rest now and forever in the peace her father understands.
Captain, help him any way you can.
You can help me?
Just one way for now, Spotted Tail. I can lead you to her grave.
Produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, John Daner, Tim Graham, and Lou Krugman. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Are your neighbors talking about action yet? Well, if they aren't, perhaps it's because they're not yet aware of the practical plan for preventing and eliminating slums that has been set up by ACTION, the American Council to Improve Our Neighborhoods. If your friends and neighbors are interested already, CBS Radio urges you to join their efforts to keep your community from running down. But if a slum fighting program has not been organized where you live, why not write to ACTION, Box 20, New York 19, for a free leaflet that explains what can be done to prevent your neighborhood from falling into disrepair. That's ACTION, Box 20, New York 19. We'll be right back.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince of Cavalry at Fort Laramie in Spotted Tail's return from July 22, 1956. Stay right there for not one but two episodes of Lum and Abner. You're listening to old-time radio drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Occasionally, over the course of their long series on radio, Lum and Abner would get into an ongoing story, and we'll have a sampling of it tonight. We'll see how far we get in the next couple of weeks in a story about a runaway 12-year-old girl who is, well, AWOL from the reform school, in need of some help. And Lum and Abner provide it by hiding her back in the feed room. This story we'll call Concealing Evidence, and it comes to us from July 23, 1943.
Hey, Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
I dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, a 12-year-old girl, Ellie Connors, has escaped from the state home for girls and was last reported to be in the vicinity of Pine Ridge. Early the other morning, she walked into the Jot 'em Down store, and later, when Uncle Henry, the town marshal, called to ask if anyone had seen the girl, Lum, against his better judgment, said no. As we look in on the little community today, we find that it's about closing time, and Lum is just entering the store.
Hey, howdy, Lum. My doggies, I'm glad to see you back again.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back, too.
What's that you got there?
Oh, I stopped by Luke Spears's and got something to eat for Ellie.
Oh, good, good.
How
good.
Is she?
Oh, just fine, I reckon.
Yeah. Good, let me sit down here. Granny's, I'm wore to a frazzle. Wore to a frazzle.
Well, you ain't the only one that's wore out, I can tell you that. I never put in such a day as I put in here in this store today in all my life.
How about you? I got blisters on my feet big as a football.
Football?
Granny's for a feller old as Uncle Henry, he can walk further and faster than every one human I ever tried to follow.
Oh, he's spry, that Uncle Henry. Yes, he is.
He had us searching for Ellie all through the swamps and the cane breaks and I don't know where all. Even went through the pin oak flats down there.
For the land's sakes, that Uncle Henry, he takes that town marshal job of his an awful serious.
Yeah, there was a state police feller with us part of the time. But
state?
Yeah, he finally got disgusted with Uncle Henry and left us.
I don't blame him.
I don't know where he went. He never come in the store, did he?
No, no. But I think might not everybody else in the world did. Dog, it just got to where I expect Ms. Roosevelt to walk in here any minute.
Ms. Roosevelt?
Yeah. Might not everybody else has been in here. I never seen so many customers in all my life. And all of them talking about Ellie Connors. How she escaped from a state home for girls and how she might be hiding right here in Pine Ridge. Oh, well, I don't know what all
it is. Yeah, I've been hearing that around town, too, today.
And all the time, I was just scared to death somebody would want to go back there in that feed room for some reason, Lum.
Well, you never let them do it, did you?
No. I had an awful time keeping Mousie out of there, though. I had him make the deliveries, and then I kept studying up errands to send him on. Finally, I just run out of ideas, so I give him a vacate for the rest of the day. Told him to go home.
Good. We got to do something about him.
Yeah.
Fire him or something.
Yeah, I hate to fire.
You don't reckon he's fishing nothing curious going on in here, do you?
Oh, not Mousie. He ain't the suspicious type, I don't think, Lum. I tell you, though, I sure did have a day of it.
Well, I never had no easy time of it myself. I felt something awful tramping all over, making believe I was helping Uncle Henry and that police fella hunt for Ellie, all the time knowing exactly where she's at.
Yeah.
Felt like a hypocrite or something.
Huh.
Here I am, justice of the peace, ought to be upholding the law. Instead, I'm concealing evidence.
Uh-huh.
I'm an accessory after the facts or something.
Well, am I one of them, too?
Yeah, only I'm a bigger one. That's all the difference.
You're bigger, huh?
Yeah.
You mean because you're taller than me?
Well, I know now I done wrong. I just done the wrong thing.
Oh, you mean the other day when Uncle Henry asked you over the phone if you'd saw any spacious-looking young'uns and you said no?
Yeah, I ought not never to have did that. Right then and there, I ought to have said, why, sure, she's right here in the store. Then we wouldn't be mixed up in all this trouble.
No, I reckon you're right, Paul.
I feel like a criminal myself. Fact is, I am one.
Yeah, huh?
And I still don't know why I ever told that to Uncle Henry. I must have had a weak moment or something.
Must have.
But it ain't gonna go on no longer, I can tell you right now.
Huh?
I've made up my mind, Abner, what we're gonna do.
You mean we're gonna send her back to that state home?
Yes, sir. Right tonight, too.
Oh.
It's the only thing we can do, Abner.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take her down to Uncle Henry, and then we can get in touch with that state police fella.
Well, what'll we tell him, Mom? Just tell him that we just now found Ellie?
No, we may as well tell him the whole truth. That's the only thing to do.
Yeah, well, I reckon you're right. Of course, you know what's going to happen to you, Lum. You'll get unsolved from your Justice of the Peace job right here and now.
I know, Abner, but you can't go against the law. You just can't do it.
No.
Well, I reckon I better go tell Ellie.
Yeah.
She's still back in the feed room, ain't she?
Yeah. I'll give her some children's books out of the library this afternoon for her to read, and she's more likely still reading them.
Oh, did you get her something to eat at noon?
Yeah. I've taken some cheese and crackers and milk and stuff back there. Well, facts is, I ate with her because I didn't dare leave the store here.
Well, get these victuals ready here, Abner.
Oh, yeah.
Fix them for her supper while I go in and give her the news.
Yeah, sure. Doggies, you oughta saw this place when I opened up this morning, Lum.
Why, what happened?
Why, nothing happened but that young'un had taken a broom and swept this place out slicker than you ever seen it. And she straightened everything up just neat as a pin.
Well, I do know.
Oh, she's working this little rascal I ever seen in my life, that young'un is.
I just hope nobody seen her through the window.
Well, she done it about sunup. I don't reckon it did.
Yeah, maybe nobody saw her.
No.
Well, I reckon I better go back there.
Yeah, well, I'll see how I can fix this up for a night so she'll enjoy
it. Yeah, all right. Ellie? Where about you at?
Oh.
It's just me. It's Lum.
Oh, here I am.
Hey, I was looking in the wrong direction for you.
Gee, I'm glad to see you again, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah.
I missed you.
Miss me? Well, Granny, you ain't known me long enough to miss me, hardly.
Oh, I've known you for about 100 years.
100 years?
Mm-hmm. That's how it is with people, ain't it?
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, sis.
Well, you know like people are. You know them or you don't know them.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks.
Some people you see them just once, but it seems like you've known them forever. But other people you see every day, but you never seem to know them.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean now, sort of. Why, Ellie, I've got something to say to you.
Yes?
I hate to tell you, but...
I guess pixies are different from people, though, aren't they?
Huh? Pixies?
Pixies and goblins. They're in the book.
The book?
Mr. Abner, he brought me some books to read today.
Oh, I see.
It tells about pixies and the goblins. They're mostly funny little men with beards. They're nice, but... they're funny.
Yeah, they are, all right. Well, didn't your mama read you all about them when you were just a little tiny girl?
No, sir.
Well, anyway, sis, what I wanted to tell you...
Pixies aren't true, are they?
Huh?
I mean, they ain't real, are they?
Well, I reckon that sort of depends. They're and they ain't, sort of.
Well, how could they be both?
Well, the way I understand it is that if you're a certain kind of a person, why, you can see them, even talk to them. But if you ain't, why, you can't.
Oh. What kind of a person do you have to be?
Well, I forget this now. But, look, Ellie, there's something I gotta tell you.
Yes, sir? What is it, Mr. Edwards?
Well, you see, sis, the government has to sort of set up laws and all for... Well, what I wanted to tell you was that... That Abner's fixing you some supper. I'll rush out and see if he's got it ready.
Oh, gee, that'll be swell. I'm hungry.
Abner?
Yeah?
Have you got them victuals fixed for her yet?
Yeah. I don't know about fixing things up pretty fancy, Long, but leastways ought to keep her from starving to death, I reckon.
Yeah, it ought to. That's nice. Say, Abner.
Yeah?
When you take that in to her, will you tell her?
Tell her what?
That stuff we was talking about a while ago.
Huh?
Taking her back to the home and all.
Oh. I thought you was going to tell her.
Well, I did aim to, but I got to talking about a lot of other junk and just plumb forgot about it.
Oh, well, can't you just go back in there and tell her?
Yeah, I can, but I better stay out here and see if nobody comes in the store while you're taking the supper to her.
Oh, well, here, Lum, you can just take that in to her, too, as you go.
No, you go ahead and take it. She's expecting you. I told her you'd bring it in. She'd be awful disappointed if you never done it.
She would.
So you just tell her when you go in.
Yeah, well. All right, I'll tell her.
Good. Then tell her nice if you can, Abby.
Yeah, well. Yeah, here you are, sis. A regular businessman's blue plate lunch.
Gee, that looks good.
Hey, where right you want to sit? Right here on this box door?
Yeah, that's swell.
Of course. Now, this is going to cost you some extra eating in the main dining room this way, you know.
You're funny.
I am. Say, Ellie, there was something I wanted to tell you.
Oh, what is it?
Well, that is,
Mister, you're little too, aren't you?
Huh?
Are you a pixie?
Pixie?
Mm-hmm. Like in the book.
Oh, why, of course. No, I ain't one of them little varmints. I'm a full-grown adult of a man.
Oh. Well, you got a beard.
Well, natural, I got a beard. I just growed that myself. But that don't make me no pixie.
Oh. What did you want to tell me?
My dog is. And if that ain't a good one on me, I believe I forgot what it was just as sure as he were. Well, I do know. That's
this is awful good.
Ain't it? Well, good. Now, you eat a lot now, so you grow up to be a big, strong girl. But whatever I started out to tell you must not have been very important, or I'd recollected it again. You just go ahead now and eat your supper now. Eat all of it, and I'll tell you, I'll be back a little later.
Yes, sir. Oh, gee, this is good. Thanks, mister.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Mom.
Yeah?
About taking Ellie back over to Uncle Henry.
Yeah?
He reckoned that we could do that tomorrow instead of tonight.
Why, yeah, it might be better, Ted. Yeah, sure. After supper ain't no time to be doing no such things as that.
Well, concealing not just evidence, but a certain 12-year-old runaway girl, Lum and Abner, sticking their necks out tonight, and I predict they'll do it for a while yet. In fact, we'll go right into the next episode, which explains, or at least tries to explain, to young Ellie why she has to go back to the state home for girls. In the meantime, of course, certain things have to be attended to on her behalf. This episode we'll call Indecision, and it comes from Lum and Abner and July 27th, 1943.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Hi, Doggy's Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as the search for Ellie Connors carries on, Lum and Abner continue to hide her in the feed room, much against their better judgment. All their well-meaning attempts to send the 12-year-old girl back to the state home for girls have ended in complete failure. As we look in on the little community today, we find that it's late evening. The old fellows are meeting on a dark street corner. Listen.
Abner,
Is that you, Abner?
Yeah. Yeah, well, where about you at, Lum? It's so dark out tonight, I can't hardly see my face in front of my hand.
Well, I'm glad it is dark, though. Come on, let's get on out to the store. What taking you so long?
Well, I had to wait till Elizabeth weren't around before I could get one of Little Pearl's dresses out of the closet. Though it looked like Elizabeth was around all the time.
You finally got one, though, didn't you?
Yeah, got it. It weren't easy, though, I'll tell you that.
Elizabeth never caught on to what she was doing, did she?
Well, I don't think so. But I got to get back pretty quick, Lum, because the only excuse I could study up to get out was that I forgot to lock up the store tonight.
Well, this won't take us long.
Oh, this hurry. Come on.
Just want to try this dress on Ellie and try to disguise her a little.
Disguise her?
Yeah.
You mean put a beard and mustache on her?
No, no, you don't put beards on girls.
I seen a bearded woman at a circus once. Of course, I reckon Ellie would be a little young to start raising a beard, though, now to think about it. Yeah, the dress side is all right, Lum, but I don't believe I'd put a beard on it. No, no.
Well, I ain't aiming on it.
Well, good. I'm proud you changed your mind. I'm surprised you even thought of such ideas as that, Lum, anyway. Just a lucky thing. I stopped you in time, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do without you. Mind out.
What's the matter?
I guess that's just a dog.
Huh?
For a second, I thought it might be one of them police fellas.
Are they out searching at night, too?
More than likely. That's why we got to be awful careful.
Yeah, well, what are we going to do with Ellie after we get her disguised, Lum?
Well, we're going to get her out of town.
Out of town?
Yeah, I don't know yet how we're going to do it, though, or where we can take her to. But she can't stay around here no longer, I know that. It's too dangerous.
And it sure keeps a feller on edge, I'll say that, Lum. I get nervous and jumpy as a rabbit's nose every time somebody comes in the store down here.
Yeah, well, it just ain't safe for her to stay in that feed room no longer.
Well, what we ought to do with it is take her over to my place and let Elizabeth take care of her like I wanted to do.
Abner, we've went over that 100 or 1,000 times. I'm feared Elizabeth might tell somebody.
Oh, she wouldn't, Lum.
She wouldn't aim to do it, Abner, but she'd let it slip. She'd get to talking with Sister Simpson or the Widow Abernathy or somebody, and the first thing you know, it'd be all over town.
Yeah, well, maybe so. I don't know. But ain't it sort of again the law, us getting out of town, Lum?
Yeah, but we're already going again the law by hiding her here.
Yeah.
We've already got ourselves in so deep that anything we do now ain't going to make it much worse.
No, maybe not. Of course, there's one thing we can do, I reckon. That's turn her over to Uncle Henry Lunsford or send her back to the state home one long.
Abner, we might as well be honest with ourselves about that. For 2 days now, we've been trying to send her back. But yeah. For some reason, we ain't been able to bring ourselves to do it.
No, we ain't. Well, that's right. You're right about that. We ain't did it.
During the day, whenever I'm out helping Uncle Henry and them police fellers search for Ellie, I get to kicking myself something terrible for ever getting us into this mess in the first place.
Yeah, we never ought to have did it. There ain't no ifs and ands about it. We ought not to have did it.
So then I decide the only thing to do is turn Ellie over to the police. Then I come back to the store here and look at that little face of hers. Grannies, I just can't do it.
Yeah, well, I know exactly how you feel. I believe it's them eyes of hers, Lum.
Her eyes?
Yes, sir. It's just like looking at a deer's eyes or something like that. That sort of ask you to help them, you know.
Oh, we're just a couple of weak-minded old idiots. That's what we are.
Well, I know it. I know it. That's what we are.
Well, here's the store.
You want to go in the side door here?
Oh, yeah, we don't want to go in the front.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured.
Got your key?
Yeah, got it right here.
Be awful quiet now. Don't make no noise. Don't want to wake nobody up.
Yeah, I'll be quiet. Come on, let's get on in there.
Goodness sakes, Abner, what'd you do?
I never done nothing. It just happened, Lum. What's the matter?
What just happened?
I don't know. Whatever it is. Wait a minute. Let me turn on the lights here.
No, don't do that. Pull down the blinds first.
Oh yeah, I better do that. Yeah, I'll get them.
Grannies, we don't want half the town turning out here.
Oh.
Better be on your guard, too, because there's something suspicious going on.
I wonder if Ellie's still here. Ellie?
Abner, don't say her name out loud. No telling who's in here.
Mr. Peabody?
Oh, there she is, Lum. Did you hear her?
Yeah. What's going on here anyway, sis?
Nothing. It just knocked over my alarm.
Your alarm?
Uh-huh. Every night I do that. Stack up some pails in front of the door. Then I can tell if anybody comes in to find me.
Well, I do know.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No, of course not. I just hope you ain't wake nobody else up. Granny's what a way to have to live.
What did you say, Mr. Edwards?
Nothing. Abner, get that other window shade and I'll turn on the light.
Yes, just a minute.
Yeah, I reckon this little light back here will be enough. Dawn ain't no brighter in here than we have. Well, that's one to goodness. What kind of a rig you got on there, sis?
Oh, this is a nightgown.
Nightgown?
Only it's not really a nightgown. It's really just two of your aprons, like you wear in the store.
Well, if that don't beat the bugs of fight. Look at her.
Doggies, now that's quite an outfit.
Yes, sir. Quite an outfit.
Well, we got something else we want you to try on for a second, sis. Give her the dress, Abner.
Yeah. Here, honey.
A dress?
Yeah, just see how it fits.
Why, am I going someplace?
Well, not tonight. Maybe tomorrow or the next day. As soon as we get different stuff figured out.
You ain't taking me back to the reform school?
Oh, no, of course not. That is, not right away we ain't. Of course, sooner or later we got to square that up, Ellie, because that's the law and we... Oh, now here now, sis.
I ain't crying, honest, I ain't.
Well, that's better. Can't have you cuddling up every time we mention that subject.
I ain't crying.
Why, of course you ain't, honey. I ain't neither.
Well, here. Let's try this dress on and see how it fits.
Yeah, here, put it on, Ellie. Just slip it over that apron there. We can get a good enough idea from that, I reckon.
Yes, sir.
Ellie, how in the world did you ever escape from that home? A little tyke like you.
Oh, I just hid in some laundry and rode out in the laundry truck. I don't think I can hook that in the back there.
Oh, well, here. Let me help you. I'll hook it for you. I've been hooking Elizabeth up for 30-odd years. Yeah, how's that look, Long?
Granny, that's the way you ought to do home for, I'm feared.
Yeah, it is sort of big, ain't it?
Yeah. I forgot what a good-sized girl little Pearl is.
Oh, Lord, she's bigger than her mama. Well, maybe having it long in a way to make sis look sort of like a grown-up woman.
Oh, no. Grown-up women wear their skirts short nowadays.
How?
Well, it's just one thing to do. Get the scissors, Abner.
Scissors? Now, wait a minute now, Loam. Elizabeth will skin me alive if I cut that dress.
Well, it's got to be done.
Oh, no.
Well, sis can't go nowhere in that pink gingham dress of hers. That's a cinch. That's what the police are looking for, a girl in a pink gingham dress.
Yeah, that's right.
Besides, Elizabeth ain't going to know about this no way. Go ahead and get the scissors.
I don't know where they're at.
They're about a foot and a half from you there.
Huh?
Right there on the counter next to the thread cabinet.
Oh, them there? Them's too dull, and need sharpening.
They're sharp enough. Come on, we ain't got all night.
Well, all right.
Stand up straight now, sis. Go ahead, Abner.
Say, maybe I better do this.
No, you're too young to know how to do such things as that.
Well, maybe it'd be better to hem it up instead of cutting it.
No, you know what we're doing now. You just stand still there, honey.
Yeah, there, Long. How's that now?
Just a second. Let me look. Well, I'm afraid you got it about 2 inches higher on the left side there.
The left?
Yeah, better straighten that.
Yeah, all right. Doggish Elizabeth ever catches me.
And stop grumbling.
I still think maybe I ought to do this.
We should get it all right, honey. Just let us handle it.
How's that now, Long?
Granny, you're taking off too much.
Huh?
Now the other side's too long. Here, give me the scissors.
Yeah, take them. I don't know nothing about such as this. Besides, I want to be able to bring part of this on to you, too.
If you'll just leave the dress, I'll fix it.
No, I'm getting it all right. It just takes a certain knack to do these things.
Uh-oh. What's the matter, Lom?
Abner, how do you think you'd look to have scallops around the bottom there?
Scallops? Oh, my goodness, Doggies, you've ruined it now, Lum. You've ruined it. That's what you did. Looky there.
The time we evened that out, it would be kind of short, wouldn't it?
Why, of course it would. Might make a bathing suit out of it. We had the bloomers to go with it.
Well, we ain't even on taking her swimming, though.
Well, why don't you just leave the dress and go home and get some sleep, and I think I can fix it.
Fix it? You? Why, you couldn't do that, could you?
Oh, sure. I used to make over most of the dresses I ever had. Just show me where the needles are.
They're right in that same cabinet with the thread there.
Oh, all right. Now you two go home.
Yeah, I better be getting along. Elizabeth will be wondering what's become of it. Come on, let's get out of here. Come on, Lom.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good night, sis.
Yeah, we'll see you in the morning.
Yes, sir. Good night. And thanks.
No, not at all, honey. Good night.
Be sure you lock it good, Abner.
Yeah, I will.
Miss Abner. Sure good thing she's got us to look after, ain't it?
Oh, yeah, that poor little helpless thing.
Lemon Abner from July 27th, 1943, with some indecision. And I predict the indecision will continue next week. Right after this, Point of No Return from NBC University Theater. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.